appreciate that. Gospel of John, chapter 10 tonight. And Gospel of John, chapter 10. Probably we'll have Brother Stensis bring the message next Wednesday night, since he is a veteran missionary now, 6-8 years or so. And I feel bad not having those guys speak to us. If the Lord changes my mind, that's fine. But I don't want to get into a series if he's coming in next week. Emily, you come sing for us. I saw her here just a moment ago. I thought, didn't I see her? Oh, right here. Okay. Emily will sing John 10, and we'll get there.
All my dreams were shattered, and all that mattered was gone on the winds of sorrow. Everything I had planned swept out of my hand, and I saw no hope for tomorrow. With my heart near to breaking, I cried, Lord, I can't make it.
John chapter 10 and verse number 10. If you look at it there, this is not a teaching beginning any kind of a series. This is a lesson for our church tonight, specifically for this evening. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. I want to talk to you tonight on the subject of the evening wolves. The evening wolves. And to give you, I've been in this chapter in chapel yesterday in our school and devotions this morning, reading it myself, looking at some important lessons here. And I won't go into all that I've been teaching already. This is something different entirely than what I've been sharing with some of the other folks. But I want to speak tonight on the evening wolves. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We love you. Ask that you bless us tonight. See something healthy for us out of your word tonight. Open our eyes, Lord, please. We pray that none of us will be possessed with the spirit of slumber this evening, but that, Lord, you'll open our eyes. We'll open our eyes and our hearts, and you'll show us some things from your word that will help us and bless us and be good for us. And we'll be careful to thank you in advance for your great love. In Christ's name, amen. Throughout the word of God, people are compared to sheep. That's no surprise to you if you've been saved for some time, read the Bible. God refers to his people often as sheep. I think of the verse Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep. Now, you know this, it's not very complimentary to be called sheep. You know that. It might be complimentary to be called a lion or some other type of animal, but to be called a sheep is not very complimentary. Sheep are some of the dumbest of animals. My father-in-law mainly raised hogs and turkeys on his farm in Iowa. But there was a time when he had cattle. There was a time when he had sheep. And if I've heard him say it once, I've heard him say it 50, 75 times, sheep are stupid. Sheep are dumb. And they are. They're very dumb, dumb animals. They have to be led because they are incapable of on their own to take care of their basic needs. So they have to have a shepherd to lead them out to pasture and a shepherd to lead them out to water. They have to have a shepherd to lead them to safety, lead them to protection, then lead them back out again to water, back out again to pasture. They have to be led. Without a shepherd, they walk around in circles. They put themselves in place of danger. So they're not real bright. And, you know, it's really not a compliment that God refers to us as sheep. We, as God's children, are like sheep. Now, we have the best of shepherds to lead us. I like David's testimony over there in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Someone said that a good paraphrase of that verse would be, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. I like that. The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. Now, in verse number 11, Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. What's the characteristic of the good shepherd? Well, he says the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep because he loves the sheep. By the way, we won't go there tonight any further than this, but he's not only the good shepherd. Another part of the scripture tells us that he's the great shepherd. And another part of the scripture tells us that he is the chief shepherd. So he's all three in one. Just like he's prophet, priest, and king, he is good, great, and chief shepherd. And so Jesus says he's the shepherd, defining characteristic. The shepherd gives his life. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. In contrast to the hireling. The hireling is mentioned in verse 12. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep, and he flees. And the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. And Jesus said the hireling fleeth, verse 13, because he is an hireling. He's not a son. He's a hireling. He's not a son. He's a hired man. He's a servant. The hireling flees because he is an hireling, and he careth not for the sheep. The hireling is not willing to give his life for the sheep like the good shepherd is. The good shepherd's willing to give his life because he loves the sheep. The hireling doesn't love the sheep. He doesn't even care for the sheep, the Bible says. He's there for one thing. He's there to make some money. That's his income. He's a hired hand. So the wolf comes, and he gets afraid. He frightens, and he flees from the danger, and he leaves the sheep completely to themselves. And without a shepherd, sheep are vulnerable. Horribly vulnerable. and they wander around. They don't know what to do. Just run everywhere and scatter. And that's what the wolf does. He scatters the flock, and then he picks off the sheep, scatters the sheep, so forth and so on, picks off the sheep. Now, because there is no shepherd, the sheep are an easy prey for the formidable predator. And I believe the wolf in verse number 12, I believe the wolf is talking about Satan. Myself, I believe it's a reference to the devil. In other places in the Bible, wolves are a reference to false teachers. And I believe here the Bible is talking about the devil being a wolf. It talks about the devil in verse number 10 being a thief. I think he's the wolf in verse number 12. Now, so the devil is a wolf. The wolf is a predator. The predator seeks the prey. I preached a message on that some months ago here on the predator and the prey. Now, the Bible talks about wolves in several places, but there are three places where the Bible talks about a specific, particular kind of wolf. And it's the evening wolf. Other places, the Bible talks about the ravenous wolf. But in three specific passages, the Bible talks about the evening wolf. Let me show them to you real quickly here. We'll start in go in order. Jeremiah chapter 5. Pardon me, I don't know what's in my throat here. Jeremiah chapter 5, and I'll give you a second to find that. While you do that, I'm going to get a drink of water here, try to get this out of my throat. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 6. That, by the way, this passage is talking about the invasion, is talking about the Chaldeans, the Babylonians that will be coming to destroy the city of Jerusalem and invade Judah. And that's what this scripture is talking about here. This is a description of the Babylonian army. In verse number 6 of chapter 5, God said, "Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities." He's talking about the coming invasion of the Babylonian army. He said they're going to be like a lion, going to be like a wolf, and going to be like a leopard. That's what the invading army is going to be like, the characteristics of this army. And he said they're going to be like not just a wolf, but they're going to be like the evening wolf, the wolf of the evening. Now, turn a few pages to your right to the book of Habakkuk. If you'll find that, if you have it might be easier to go to your index and get the page number. Go to the book of Habakkuk, Jonah, Joel, Micah, Nahum, and then Habakkuk as you're turning toward the back of the Old Testament. The book of Habakkuk, one of what we call the minor prophets, but nothing minor about the scripture. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 8. Again, a description of the Babylonian army that's coming in, okay, and invading. That's going to be making the invasion. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 8. "Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves." So here twice, talking about the coming judgment on the city of Jerusalem, the nation of Judah, God says this, they're going to be like the leopards, and they're going to be like lions, and they're going to be like wolves, but specifically, wolves of the evening, evening wolves. Okay. Next book, Zephaniah. Habakkuk, Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 3. Zephaniah 3 and verse number 3. "Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves." And this is talking about Jerusalem and Judah, the moral state of the nation of Judah and Jerusalem. "Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow." Evening wolves, three times. Wolves of the evening, evening wolves, evening wolves. Wolves. Now, a brief study on the wolf, if you just look it up in some book or encyclopedia or go on the internet and study about the wolf, you'll find that the wolf is a more fierce creature at night than he is during the day. They are primarily nocturnal. Most predators are nocturnal. Grizzly bears are nocturnal. Of course, these eco-babbles, Al Gore and his group, they would, and other people like them, Greenpeace and all that folks, would have you believe that wolves aren't predators. They're nice little puppy dogs, you know, and they help us to get rid of the mice population. Isn't that sweet? But wolves are predators. Just talk to the ranchers out in Montana and Wyoming. Wolves are predators. Predators move at night. They're primarily nocturnal. They begin their hunts at dusk. That's their nature. That's how they are. They avoid the heat of the day. Often their victims in a buffalo herd or an elk herd or if they get near a sheep herd out west, often their victims are the very old, the very young, the weak, or the sick. That's their victims. Now, if you ever watched a documentary on predators, you watch the lion, and they prey on the weak, they prey on the sick, they prey on the young. Okay? I've told you many times about that video that Hannah saw, that family at Northwest that went out to Yellowstone Park and that grizzly charged out of the woods. All those people there with their kids watching that big elk herd and that grizzly just burst out of the timber while they're all there watching, filming with their VCR cameras. And here comes this grizzly bear charging out of the woods, out of the timber there. And boy, the herd just, scatters like crazy. And who does he go for? He goes for the calf. The young calf, the young one. One swat. Knocks the calf over with one swat of his paw, takes the thing by its neck and his jaws, picks it up, and walks off into the timber with it. got that on video. Oh, look at all the elk. Oh, aren't they pretty? Ooh, what is that? That makes for a nice family movie down the road somewhere. Amen. So, that'd be one somebody might enjoy watching come into your house, rather than get bored at. But that's what they go for. They go for the sick. They go for the diseased. They go for the weak. They go for the young. They go for the old. There's a fellow by the name of Adolf Murray. He wrote a book entitled The Wolves of Mount McKinley. And in it he said, and I quote about wolves, many bands seem to be chased, I'm talking about bands of other, like elk or buffalo, given a trial, and if no advantage is gained or weak animals discovered, the wolves travel on to chase other bands until an advantage can be seized. So they're after a herd of elk or a herd of buffalo or sheep, and they're looking for an advantage if they can gain an advantage on that herd. Or if there is a weak or sick animal in a young animal by itself, and if they can't get an advantage, they move on and chase other bands until they can get an advantage. Now, once an advantage is discovered, they prepare the attack. They come. I mean, they're ready. They prepare the attack. A lot of times they go downwind of the prey so that they're not discovered and they come, they make their approach, and then they'll make a circle, and they'll come against that weak or sick or infant or young animal, and they'll make their attack and so forth. That they said, a man said in his book, those that are the easiest to catch are the weak and the ill. And you can figure that out yourself. You understand that. If they get along limping or something, if there's an injured animal, that's who they're going after. The weak and the ill. Now, if the devil is likened unto a wolf, then he must possess characteristics similar to wolves. He must. So Jesus said he's like a wolf. So he must possess characteristics that are similar to wolves. If wolves are fiercer at evening than at other times, then the devil must be fiercer in the night seasons as well. If he has the characteristics of a wolf. And I'm going to tell you something. Night seasons come. Folks, Genesis 8, chapter 22 says that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and hot, winter and summer will not cease. Day and night. While the earth remaineth. Now, winter and summer and seed time and harvest, what is that? That's the four seasons. You plant and seed time is the spring, harvest is the fall, winter, summer, cold, hot, day, night. He said, the Lord said, while the earth remains, these things won't cease, regardless of what Al Gore says. The Lord's already said, as long as the earth remains, we're going to go through seasons. And as Christians, we can learn from the sea. I don't know, I've just been fascinated lately. I preached a message the Sunday morning that we had the 10 inches of snow. And all the Saturday, Sunday, some of you couldn't be here. But I talked about learning from the laws of nature. There's so much that we as God's people can learn from if we just keep our, just look at, just watch nature. I've just been fascinated by it. And there's a lot we can learn from as people of God from the seasons. The seasons are going to come as long as the earth remains, planting and harvest and winter and summer and day and night and hot and cold. That means in every individual's life, in every family's life, in every church's life, there are going to be seasons. Seasons of growth. Seasons of stagnancy. Times to plant. Times to harvest. Warmth. Cold, we're going to go through that. And if we're going to go through the night, we have to watch out for the predator. If Satan is likened to a wolf, then there's something God wants us to learn. Let's look at the wolf. It doesn't take rocket science. Let's study the wolf. That's what he does. He moves from band to band to band to band, looking for an advantage. And when they find the advantage, they prepare the attack. You going through the night season at home? You going through the night season in your life? Faith Baptist Church in a night season? Huh? It comes to everybody. Nobody lives in the summer all their life. Nobody lives in reaping all their life. Nobody lives in the warmth all their life. We go through cycles. We go through seasons of life. We need to learn from that. That's one of the reasons why Paul taught specifically about the grace of giving in Galatians chapter 6. But the application can be made to everything. Induce, keep planting, folks. Keep moving forward. If we'll just keep doing right in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. The seasons change. Yeah. I mean, it was 60 degrees Sunday. And, you know, now we're back to wintertime again. We knew that was coming. But you know what? Every day that clicks by now, we're closer to March and April. In about 6 months, we'll be sweating. Right? 8 months, maybe 7 months. It'll change. It's spiritually the same way. You're not going to go through your spiritual life with the sun always shining and 72 moderate degrees and no wind and no humidity. You're going to go through winter seasons where the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour and it's 35 degrees below zero wind chill. And you're going to go through seasons of just planting and planting and planting and never harvesting. And you're going to go through seasons of reaping. Yeah, if you just don't quit. Don't faint. Stay at it. That's what he said. That's what, if wolves are fierce, and when we get in those night seasons, if wolves are fiercer at evening than at other times, and God specifically told Jerusalem and Judah, the people who are coming against you, they're not just like wolves, they're like evening wolves. They're more fierce. You kind of get that from the whole context. The lions are more fierce, the leopards are more fierce, and the wolves are more fierce. They're evening wolves. They're on the prowl. They're predators, they're hungry, and they're looking for an advantage. And they're going to look until they find one. And when they find one, they're going to prepare the attack. If wolves seek out the weak and the ill, then Satan must come after the weak and the ill of the flock. If wolves seek out the young, that's why it's so critical that we want to put forth our best effort in every area of the ministry that involves the children of Faith Baptist Church. I'm talking about the Sunday school, the bus ministry, the school, the King's Kids, and the 10 o'clock, the 11 o'clock, the 3 o'clock. Doesn't matter whose child it is. Doesn't matter if his last name is Angel or Hanson or whatever, or somebody that we don't know who just sends the kid to church. We give it an opportunity here to try to help the young. And the predator is after the young. After the young. I read a statistic the other day that literally blew my mind. 57%. Of young people coming out of fundamental Baptist schools believe that homosexuality is okay. 57%. Don't be surprised. Does it shock me? Yeah. I hear things come back. It's unbelievable. How in the world could they come out of a fundamental Baptist church who believes that that book is the inerrant, inspired, preserved Word of God? And proud, I'll tell you what it is. It's pride. It is the height of pride to babble off some 21-year-old child, babble off about homosexuality. That's not so bad. You know, if that's their choice, it's okay. That's the height of pride. They're after the young. The wolves seek out the weak. They seek out the ill. Satan must come after the weak, the ill, the young of the flock. Now, I want to say, as your pastor tonight, I'm not a shepherd, by the way. I'm an under-shepherd. I understand my position. I hope I do. This is not my church. It's His church. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He's the good shepherd. I'm here because He put me here as the under-shepherd. And I want to say to Faith Baptist Church tonight that there are several different and varied situations going on inside Faith Baptist Church at the present time. So much so that I believe with all my heart the wolf is circling the flock. I'm here to tell you that tonight. I'm not here to tell you that to scare you. I'm here to tell you to be aware. Be on your toes. I believe we are a flock that is primed for wolf attacks. I believe that with all my heart. And I'm here tonight as the under-shepherd to tell you, I don't think you need to be alarmed, but I think you need to be on your toes. I think you know, we've just, and I don't mean we personally, I mean we in Christendom worldwide, maybe not worldwide, but in America here, we've gone on through these years, folks, basically, we've not had any persecution here. Come on, somebody slams a door in our face, they're cutting Christians' tongues out over in Indonesia. We're going to get upset because somebody cussed us. At least they let us keep our tongue. My soul. We've grown so apathetic toward the idea of the enemy. But I'm going to tell you, the enemy's real. And he's described as a wolf. And particularly evening wolves. And it doesn't surprise me. You know, I was thinking about it. We took the biggest step of faith that we've ever taken during my tenure here in commencing this building project. That was the biggest step of faith we've ever taken. I don't think we took it foolishly. I don't think we took it blindly. I think we took it with eyes wide open, but it was a step of faith. We enjoyed the greatest summer quarter, June, July, and August, we have ever experienced. And I'm not kidding. I don't babble a lot about the numbers and the statistics and everything, but I'm going to tell you something. The summer, we never bottomed out. We didn't plan on it. God just did it. The attendance was remarkable. The salvations, the baptisms, the offerings, the Spanish department never did bottom out. Through the whole summer, I'm just waiting. Well, we got through June. We must going to be hit in July. And it never came. I kept saying, my soul. There are several contributing factors to that. I mean, just when you add it all up, God gave us a tremendous June, July, and August. Tremendous. But you don't have that kind of stuff without some kind of opposition. We've been without the Sunday school for over 7 months now. And I don't think it leaves us in a position of strength. I think it leaves us in a position of vulnerability. You'll never convince me that one less 45-minute or 30-minute lesson in the Word of God doesn't hurt us. I submit to you, it does. It takes its toll on us. And it may not in April, and it may not so bad in May and June, but over the course of time. Huh? That's what happens to these churches, folks. They throw out the Sunday school hour, then they throw out Wednesday night, then they throw out Sunday night, and they're there 1.5 hours on Sunday morning, and that's it. You tell me how they're doing. We're just ready to enter the building, begin the Sunday school hour again. I believe we are a vulnerable church for wolf attacks. And I'm privy to everything that I've been dealing with for the past month. It's not isolated to one situation. There's several incidents and situations inside the membership of this church, right? I'm telling you, the wolf circled the flock. The wolf circled the flock. I'm not here tonight to scare you. I'm here to make you aware and to say, be on your toes. Be on your toes. See, it's very necessary that the shepherd not flee. Now, Jesus is not going anywhere. But it's also very necessary that we are strong in the midst of the predator's presence. It is important that we are strong in the proper strength. It's not mine, and it's not yours. It's His. That's our only hope. You look at Ephesians chapter 6. Look over there for a few minutes tonight. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. And you know this passage well. You read the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. And we'll finish up just in these few verses and get to prayer time here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's where we need to be strong, friend. We don't need what I can muster up. We don't need what you can muster up. We don't need what we can muster up conglomerately as a church. We just need to plug into His strength. That'll be all we need. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the evening wolf. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, do you see that? Our battle is not with each other. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of that, because of verse 12, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand in the what day? The evil day, when the evening wolf is circling the flock. In the evil day, having done all to stand, and having done all to stand. Stand your ground, Christian. Stand your ground, layman. Stand your ground, Pastor Angel. Stand your ground, staff. Stand your ground, Sunday school teacher. Stand your ground, teenager. Stand your ground, wife. Stand your ground, and having done all, stand. Stand like you ought to stand. Stand in His strength. Stand in the strength of the Word of God. Stand in the strength of a little prayer time. Stand in the strength of a holy heart. Stand in the strength of being generous when it comes to your tithe and offering and being a witness. Do right. Stand in His strength, having done all to stand. You know, the May 1987 issue of National Geographic, there was an article, a feature article on the Arctic wolf written by a guy by the name of L. David Meach. And it talked about that the Arctic wolf is a predator, like all wolves are. And many times they'll get the snowshoe hare and all that stuff, but a lot of times they'll go after herds of musk oxen. You know what a I can't even say it. That woolly booger, okay, that's what he looks like. I mean, he's a buffalo. He's an Arctic buffalo is what he is. Real thick hair, and the male and the female both grow horns. They come out like a Cape buffalo would look, a water buffalo look, and they got those, the horns are sharp. And he was talking about living up in the Arctic and doing a study on the Arctic wolves. And he witnessed firsthand a pack of seven wolves who attempted an attack on several musk oxen calves. Several of them. Didn't say how many. Several usually means three or four, so I guess that's what it was. Three, four, five. Seven wolves and three or four musk oxen calves. Young ones. But there were 11 adult musk oxen. I can't say it. Musk oxen in the herd. So you got 11 adults and several calves, three or four calves, and seven wolves. And they started circling. And you know what those musk oxen adults did? If you've ever seen a documentary, if you've ever seen pictures, you ever looked at them, you know, and I'm like a little boy when it comes to animals. If we passed by a zoo when the kids were little, we stopped. I love it. And I've seen this on documentaries. They put those calves, and they circled around those calves. All 11 adults put the calves right in the middle, and they circled around those calves. Head out, facing the enemy. And they stood there. And you know what? As long as they stood there, those wolves never came at them. They stood there. After I don't know how long, one of those adult musk oxen spooked and ran. Pew! And when he did, chaos ensued. Pretty soon they were all broken up into little groups with one adult and one calf and two adults and one calf and no adult and wolves circling and howling and harding around, running around. It was chaos. And finally, the adults ended up just scattering and every calf in the herd was caught by a wolf and killed. All four or five of them. All four or five of them. But I thought it was interesting. The point the man made was as long as they stood in that circle, those wolves never attacked. I thought, boy, we need that. Boy, we need that. We need every child of God to be strong in the Lord. Hear me. There is not a church on the face of God's planet that doesn't have some weak or some sick family members in it. You understand that? There's not one anywhere, folks. Unless there are just got 40, us four and no more. But anybody that's trying to reach anybody has got sick and weak and young calves in the herd. You know what keeps the wolf at bay? Yes, our shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ. He's not going anywhere. He's there to watch over and protect us. But I'm going to tell you what he's looking for. He's looking for a bunch of adult musk oxen. Looking for a bunch of mature adults who are strong in the Lord to stand. Stand. And stand their ground. This is no time for spiritual weakness. No time for spiritual illness on the part of the folks in this church who have some spiritual strength. The wolves are circling and the weak and the sick sheep will not be able to stand in the gap and hold off the wolves. But those who are strong can't. They can't. The calves need the protection that the strong adults provide for them. They need to be encircled by the adults who are not weak or ill, but strong in His might. And that's all I ask this church to do right now. Be strong in His might. Be strong in His might. Stand. Do right. Pray. Read your Bible. Be a good Christian, folks. Be in your place. Do what's right. Be strong. If you are weak, then ask God to strengthen you. If you are ill, then ask God to make you better. There is a balm in... I'm not talking about sick with the flu. I'm not talking about sick with cancer. I'm talking about if you're ill spiritually. There's a balm in Gilead. There is. He is the healer. He's called the great physician. You go to Him and say, I need to be healed. I'm weak. I'm sick. I need help. And if you're weak from other things, I need help, God. Strengthen me. And those who are strong right now, not in yourself, not in the power of your own might, but in His might, stand your ground. Be the Christian you're supposed to be. One thing we know for sure, we have a chief shepherd who will not flee. How do we know that? Because the good shepherd, He's the good shepherd. Because He loves us. He loves us. He will not flee. He will not leave His sheep because He loves us. But I want to tell you, and by the way, as I preached a couple of Sunday mornings ago, if God be for us, who can be against us? But you know, we have to do our part. You know, over there in Ezekiel, God said He was looking for a man to stand in the gap. Remember that? To make up the what? The hedge. What was His result? I found none. We do have a part to play, folks. We have a great God, a God who loves us, gave His Son who gave His life for us. He is the Good Shepherd. And I want to tell you what He needs in this church right now. He needs a bunch of folks who will just stay the course, do right, even step it up a notch. Be serious in your Bible time. Be serious in your prayer time. Pray before you leave the house, fellas. If you got a chance, pray on your way to work. If you can't, pray before you leave the house. I understand. Schedules, it's hard sometimes. But man, access the throne of grace at some point during the day. You ladies that are home, have your devotions and access the throne of grace. We don't need you teenagers dabbling in rebellion.
We don't need that. There's a bigger cause than you enjoying little dumb witchcraft rock music. Amen. Much bigger cause than that. We're going to stop. We're going to have prayer time tonight. I believe with all my heart that a special time of prayer like this can be a great, great help to Faith Baptist Church. Specific prayer tonight for protection, for strength, for help. Because I really believe the wolf is circling. You know what? You know what? When he sees that there's no advantage, he moves on. He'll be back. But he'll move on. And the wolf comes back around again to see if there's any advantage. We just don't want to get any advantage. We want the gaps to be filled. We want the people to be in place. We want folks walking with God in the powers, the strength of His might. Standing. Being right. That's what we're going to pray about tonight. Find somebody to pray with. Kelly, would you come to the pit? You have your kids with you. Donna, come on to the organ. We can do that. That's fine. We'll get down on the organ. We sang the song tonight, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. So you play that for a little bit. You find somebody to pray tonight. We'll have a few announcements when you're done, but I hope that you'll give your heart to this prayer meeting and ask God's blessing on the people whose names we added to the prayer list and the things that I've mentioned tonight. All right? You find somebody to pray with, and let's have prayer time.